I want to ask you a question really quick. Why is it that you do what you do every day? Why do you get up in the morning? What motivates you to get up in the morning and really crush it in life? Or on the flip side of it, are you really searching for that? Are you searching for that thing that just hits you at your core, that motivates you, that excites you, that you know is the impact you want to make in the world, and that you know is going to help make a difference and also make your income, your financial picture a lot better? Well, I know for me, I went through my own part of that journey back in 2010, 11, 12, where I was waking up in the morning, had a great business, was making great income, but just really honestly hating life. You know, I mean, I loved my family, loved everything about it. I just wasn't in a spot in my life where I was loving everything that I was doing. Okay, now I'm going to reverse a little bit. And it might be a little bit, exaggeration of me saying I hated my life. I did not hate my life, okay? It was really that I hated the position I had put myself in a business that was a great business, but a role that I just kind of despised, and it was all my fault. And with that said, you know, we've talked about this topic in our Carrot Cast before, and the reason I wanted to lead in with that question for you is because I had a conversation with the guests that we're having on today. Name is Alex Pardo, a good friend of mine from years back. He is a Carrot customer, does 5 deals a month or so in the South Florida market. But we had a conversation when I was driving north on I-5 here in Oregon sometime last year. And Alex and I had a deep conversation. Hopefully he doesn't mind me sharing this. But we had a deep conversation about that question. You know, what is the meaning? What is purpose? What is passion? Where does it fit in with business? And what should or what did I end up doing to make that complete transformation from being almost a solo entrepreneur with a business partner, in a virtual assistant, and doing some really cool stuff, but just not really feeling like it was fulfilling me, not really feeling like it was the impact I wanted to make, and also not really maximizing the income potential that I could do in the business. How did I go from that to working in a position at a company I created that I'm so excited about here with Carrot? That we're doing some insanely great stuff. We have a great team and growing team around me here. Just we're all doing great work. And we have insanely great customers like Alex on this call. How did I make that transformation? And how did I really find that passion and purpose? And we're going to talk about that in another Carrot Cast. And it is a formula. I'm not going to go and say, hey, you've got to fill out this document. And if you love golf, you should create a company on golf. I'm going to give you the opposite advice actually on a future Carrot Cast. But Alex and I had that conversation in a deep way, and he made some adjustments after that conversation that really set him off on his own journey in life, where he is doing some amazing things in life. Okay. And with his real estate business, he's now able to step back a little bit more as he's built his team. He's built an amazing team there in Florida. And he's going to walk you through how he's built his team, how he went from a solo operator, a solo house flipper, solo wholesaler, to a team, and how he's been able to ramp it up from a deal or two or three a month to 5+ a month, and how he structures his team, how he structures the commission percentage he pays them, where he found his first people, what those first team members were, and how important it was to his business, and also just what he's really excited about, what his next project is right now as he scales up that business and he's got a lot more freedom from that business, what his next project is. So I think you're really going to enjoy it. If you're the type of person who's looking to scale up your wholesaling or house flipping business, if you're the type of person who, no matter what type of business it is, you're looking to become not a solo operator anymore, but really build a company, really build a real company that can get you earn your real freedom, that can really serve you rather than you constantly serving it, this call is going to be perfect for you. And then followed up with the call that we'll do here in the future sometime on finding your purpose, finding your passion in an unconventional way, and why I feel that you should not build companies around your passion, at least most of us shouldn't. And I'll tell you what the alternative is on a different episode. This episode is going to help you dive into Alex's journey. So I'm going to introduce you to Alex Pardo, one of our valued Carrot clients here, an insanely great friend of mine. Alex, take it away, man.
I knew that my blood, sweat, and tears, so to speak, which I know that's a cliche term, but I knew that it was for a greater good. Not only was it to build the lifestyle I want and provide for my family, but I knew that it was going to help and impact others.
Hey guys and gals, Trevor here, Facebook land. So coming at you with a Facebook Live right now. I'm So we've started here with Carrot a couple, actually two podcasts in the past week. My brother and I, Kyle, are doing a podcast that we're going to be launching in June, some amazing stuff. And then Carrot, we've got one that we started called Carrot Cast. I've got my fifth, maybe sixth guest on right now. And Alex and I, pardon the video, Alex and I are trying to, it cut out.
It cut out?
Are you there? I think we're back. Alex and I are on here live recording. He's in Florida. I'm, of course, here in Oregon. And I'm just going to leave my phone kind of on the desk because Alex and I are diving in a little bit. And I'm probably going to, as we go, I'm going to get a better setup where you guys can kind of see more of it. It'd be kind of cool to do these live while I'm doing the interview. But Alex is an amazing investor out of Florida. You guys will hear about it as I dive in here. But if you're a real estate investor, pop through some questions through that questions panel. And I might throw some at Alex. Or even if you're not a real estate investor.
Let's do it.
And just want to crush life and just enjoy life and grow a great business possibly. Pop through some questions in that questions panel as we go into this interview. So Alex, welcome aboard the Carrot Cast. And like I said, this is our, I think, our fifth or sixth episode. I think it's going to be a blast. And the one different thing about this one that people might be able to see me in the bottom corners, I've got my cell phone on and I've got it on Facebook Live. So it's kind of like this weird, it's like Alex on Alex on Alex in there. But we have a bunch of people on here watching it. And on the Carrot Cast, what we really want to dive into is Alex is an entrepreneur, of course. He is a real estate investor. He also, in his past, has done other entrepreneurial things. I really love having high performers on here to talk about what you're doing in life, what you're doing in business to make it work. And of course, we start these businesses. In your case, your main business is real estate wholesaling, and we'll dive into exactly what you guys do here in a bit. But we start these businesses so we can attain something different in our lives, right? It could be more freedom. It could be wealth, which gains you freedom. It could be just really having that sense of purpose where you can make a bigger impact when you can control more of what you're doing on your day-to-day, things like that. We're going to dig into that here in a little bit. But before we do, I want to introduce Alex Pardo officially. And the backstory there, Alex and I first connected, I think it was, 4, 5, 6 years ago, somewhere around there.
In Vegas, right?
In Vegas. Yeah. And dude, did we room together? It seems like you, me, we did and...
That was a while back, man. Who was the third? Yeah, we did have a third roommate, Corey. Which is kind of funny. We're like grown men and we're rooming together, but it was a lot of fun, dude.
Dude, it was Corey. Oh my gosh.
Corey Perlman.
Yes, Corey Perlman, who's an author and social media guy. It was a blast. That's right. So I remember those times. Of course, we had lunch, you, me, and your wife a few years ago in Miami, and we've stayed in really good contact since then. And you're always a guy that has a lot of great energy that is always learning. And every time I hear from you or we talk or whatever, I always come away from those conversations with more energy, which I like it.
And thank it makes you. It appreciate
to,
it.
Makes it a lot easier to have conversations with people when it's not just sucking energy out and people trying to distract value, but when you get a lot of energy back because of what they're providing. So that's one thing I love about you, man.
Thank you, buddy. Well, that's my goal, man. I want to thank you for having me on here, Carrotcast. It's my goal to try to add as much value and content as possible, man. So fire away, dude. Anything you want to chat about?
Cool. And before I do, I'm gonna actually say bye to Facebook land because it's kind of hard for you guys to get any value. I've got to go like this, and it looks weird in the podcast. But I'll get it set up next time to where the camera is there, and it's just gonna be live to where you can see these interviews live, and we post them recorded later. So bye, Facebook land, and we'll talk soon. So let's dive in, man. So let's touch on your backstory a little bit first. I always love seeing where people came from to learn how they became who they are today. And how long, dude, when did you start your first company? Was that something that man, right out of the gates, you're like, I'm an entrepreneur? Or was it something that took a little bit of time? Kind of what was that moment for you that made a change?
Yeah, no, great question, man. I've actually gone through a bit of a transition throughout my life. I remember when I was a kid, I considered my first company, I was flipping baseball cards. Uh-huh. So I grew up as a baseball player. I'd spend the entire day at the park, and there was always like a vendor there that would sell baseball cards. And I would buy these things and I would literally wholesale them to other like ball players in the park. And I was like 10, 11, 12 years old and I was making peanuts, chump change, like $5 here, $10 there. But that was kind of my first introduction to wholesaling, which little did I know was going to become literally my business model you know, 10, 15, 20 years later. And having said that, when I got into college, for some reason, I had aspirations to be a Fortune 500 CEO or a CFO. And I wanted to climb that corporate ladder. And, you know, I interviewed with General Electric. I got accepted into their financial management program, which at the time, maybe it still is, was a very kind of prestigious program, grooming the future CFOs and CEOs of the company. And I'll never forget it, man. I moved to Atlanta from Miami. 3 months into my job, I had been averaging like 70, 75 hours a week. I was like an Excel slave, like a PowerPoint. Excuse my language. I was like a whole.
Yeah.
Honestly, like on just Microsoft, you know, I said to myself, there's no way that this is sustainable. This is not the kind of lifestyle that I want to live. And there's just no way that I can, you know, provide for my family doing this. I was miserable. Long story short, man, I finished out that 2-year program and I decided to go backpacking around Europe with a couple of friends and kind of find myself. I knew that I was going to start a business. I just didn't know what I was going to do. And along those lines and around that time, I had started to read real estate books. I was introduced to Carlton Sheets. And so, you know, I thought that buying and selling real estate was assuming loans. Like that was my thought about real estate at the time. And I'll never forget it. I was in Ibiza. This was August 2005. And a buddy of mine sent me an email and Dave Lindahl was having a marketing for deals boot camp in Atlanta. And it was like $1,000. Now keep in mind, I had been backpacking for 3 months. I literally funded the entire thing on my credit card, which probably wasn't the smartest thing. I had no money. And something, it was kind of a take this route or take this route moment. And I decided, you know what, I'll charge it, I'll go. And 45 to 60 days later, I did my first deal, made 44 grand. Now keep in mind, at GE, I think I was making $48,000 a year, working 70 to 80 hours a week. And after that first deal, man, I just haven't looked back. And I've been doing real estate ever since 2005.
Dude, so when you closed that first deal, and like you said, you basically netted in that deal what you would make in a year. Dude, what kind of mindset shift happened at that moment? Like, did you see a whole new paradigm in just living in general? Like, I'm not even talking about income creation, but it's a whole new paradigm in life in general that what you thought about life and what you thought about what is normal and what is the path really wasn't.
You know, it's a great question, man. And I had the opportunity to, when I got back to Miami and I started the real estate business, I was working from home. And so there was such a clear distinction between how happy I was at that moment versus, you know, when I think back to when I was working in my corporate job. And there was always this restriction. I always felt like I couldn't be creative. I had to follow kind of the corporate structure. And so for me, the paradigm shift was that, being in business for myself, I can create the lifestyle I want. And I can not only that, but I can contribute and help others. I knew that my blood, sweat, and tears, so to speak, which I know that's a cliche term, but I knew that it was for a greater good. Not only was it to build the lifestyle I want and provide for my family, but I knew that it was going to help and impact others. So for me, that was the biggest paradigm shift. And not once did I ever consider going back and, you know, working on my resume, looking for a job. I mean, I knew in January 2005 when I decided to resign. From that moment until when I actually started the business in October 2005, I knew that I was going to do something for myself. I had that entrepreneurial gene. And at the time in January, I didn't know what it was going to be, although I knew that I was interested in real estate. And once I went to that boot camp and I just saw the potential there, it aligned perfectly with my personality and what I wanted to do going forward.
You hear me? I love it, man. Yeah, I can hear it. It looks like it's a little bit of breaking up, but we'll work with it. We'll make it work. It's happened a couple of times. We'll be good. So on your real estate business, like describe to people a little bit who are watching this, who might be interested in real estate or who are in real estate. What does your business look like? What kind of deals are you guys doing? Is it mainly wholesaling? You guys holding like what does your real estate stuff look like right now?
Yeah. So it's actually, my business has gone through several transitions and I've had to actually kind of roll with the punches, depending on what the market's doing. Right now, what my business looks like is I have a team of 6 people. I have 2 lead managers that process all of our incoming leads from our different campaigns. I have a virtual assistant in the Philippines. I have an acquisitions manager, a sales manager, and a transaction coordinator. So that's 6 or 7 people. Mm-hmm. And you know, what it's allowed me to do, and I wish I would have done this 5, 6 years ago, as opposed to about 3 years ago, is it's really freed me up and allowed me to do things like launch a podcast or be on here, you know, not having to work necessarily in the business, but being able to create structure and systems has given me the focus and energy to, you know, kind of drive the ship and have that 30,000 foot view on the business, as opposed to being stuck in the weeds like Tony Robbins talks about. Mm-hmm. And so that's what my business looks like. Yeah, it's pretty much 100% wholesaling. Now, having said that, we are looking at opportunities to start building more of a rental portfolio, because the challenge I have with wholesaling is that it's a fantastic business model. You can make a lot of money, but it's transactional in nature. The only way I think you can get away from that without having to go a different route is to build a team. And that's where I think I can add a lot of value to people, is building a team and scaling a business. So, yeah, man, it's wholesaling, but I'm not the one having to go out and speak to sellers on the phone and sell properties to buyers. I mean, I have a fantastic team that each one of them has a main focus, and that's, you know, that's kind of where they shine.
So what, just to give perspective, if you don't mind sharing kind of, what kind of volume are you guys doing right now, wholesale wise, if you don't mind?
Yeah, so no, not at all. So on average, we're doing about 4 deals a month. Now, having said that, there's months where we'll do 1-2 deals. But yeah, man, on average, we're doing roughly about 50 deals a year here, primarily in the South Florida area. And so, you know, what I love here is that, again, it's not 50 deals a year is really, honestly, it's not a lot. I mean, it's all relative. I know you and I both know people that are just doing hundreds of deals a year. I think where it's allowed me to do is, again, step away and continue to implement and build systems in the business so that we can scale. And I think the great thing about wholesaling is that I don't necessarily feel like I need a team of 10, 15, 20 people to get to 100 deals a year. You know, and we're not so much focused on quantity, but more how can we continue to raise our average profit per transaction. And I think that's the biggest thing, is for the last 4 years, you know, our average profit per transaction in South Florida has gone from like $8,000 to, like, every year it seems like it goes up $2,000 to $3,000, yeah. You know, where this year on average, we're making $15,000-$16,000 a deal, you know, where last year it was about $12,000-$13,000 a deal.
I like it, dude. So on these Carrot Casts, we like to kind of dig into, you know, a couple, what I call quick tips, something that's really actionable for people. And I know we talked about it a little bit before this, but I'm going to kind of put you on the spot with one of them here, which hopefully you don't mind diving into, because what you mentioned that it's been so big for you in your business, to give you that time freedom, but also to scale your business, is building out that team. And I know a lot of people here watching this might be a solo entrepreneur. Maybe they've already got 1 or 2 people. They've got some VAs, but, yeah. My guess is, if you're on this call and you're doing a deal a month or a deal every other month, or maybe even a couple of deals a month, and it's just you or one other person, you're probably not loving life right now, honestly. You're probably going, oh my gosh, I'm working a job just like I was before and whatnot. So what did you do when you went from just you to this is quick tip number one. What was the first hire that you did? How did you do it? Are they an independent contractor? Are they an employee? Mm-hmm. And would you do anything differently if you had to do it again? If you had to just start with you and scale the business up, what's the most important team member that you need to bring aboard first?
Absolutely. So for me, I'll answer this 2 different ways. The first team member I brought on board, and I want to say this was 2007, 2008, is I read Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Workweek, which probably everybody out there has heard or has read. And I went to getfriday.com, which was one of the resources in the book, and I hired a virtual assistant in India. Now, keep in mind, I had hired this person because I was totally sold on the concept of I needed to outsource, you know, not only the things that I wasn't good at, but just the things I didn't like. Like, honestly, I've never been a huge fan of hopping on the phone with a motivated seller. And it wasn't my thing. I didn't like having to go through a script. And, you know, I would send out a couple thousand postcards and I'd get 20, 30, 40 calls. And then I'd have to hop on the phone on weekends at nights. And I didn't want to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. So I hired a virtual assistant, but one of my mistakes was I didn't take the time to realize that I needed to have, you know, certain tasks for that person to do. And more importantly, I needed to have structure and a system in place for them. So I'll answer by saying that I think the first person you should bring on, if you're just a solo, you know, solopreneur, or you're just an investor and you're basically wearing all the hats, is get an assistant or a virtual assistant and write down everything that you do on a daily basis. You know, my coach told me, Alex, take inventory and stock of everything you do on a daily basis every 15 minutes. So I literally had an Excel spreadsheet on my computer, and every 15 minutes I would jot down, okay, well, I just finished answering emails for 15 minutes. I just finished doing this. I just finished putting out bandit signs. I'd take a look at that list and I'd say, okay, well, is this going to make me money if I continue to do it? If not, cross it off and put outsource next to it. Or do I like doing this? If I don't like doing it, outsource it. And so my next hire was, I actually took the time to create systems like Michael Gerber talks about. I worked on the business and then I hired a VA, but this VA actually lasted me for several years as opposed to only a couple of months, because I had structure and a game plan for that person, as opposed to hopping on Skype with a virtual assistant in India and then me kind of like fumbling around like, well, maybe you can help me with this. And I just had no structure, if that makes any sense.
No, totally. It makes a lot of sense, man. It makes a lot. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
right
and
now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, and to answer your question, independent contractor. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, throughout the years, I've gotten to the point where, you know, I wanted to kind of hoard all of the profits, right? And I realized quickly that if I wanted to scale and grow, I had to be fine with, you know, letting the pie get distributed and cut up. And it wasn't until about 3 years ago that I had brought on an acquisitions manager. I was paying them 15% of the net profit of every deal. And now all of a sudden I freed myself up and I didn't have to go meet with the sellers. Mm-hmm. And then I did the same thing with the transaction coordinator, and I started to kind of fill the org chart, so to speak.
So you've got the transaction coordinator. You've got the, what was the one you mentioned right before that one?
Sales manager.
Sales manager. So mm-hmm. What does your sales manager do and what does the transaction coordinator do on your team?
Yeah. So once we contract the property with the seller, it automatically, we use a CRM called Podio. With a click of a button, it gets assigned over to the sales manager. Now it's the sales manager's responsibility to coordinate the marketing efforts with the virtual assistant, mm-hmm. and to blast out the property, send out text campaigns, basically handle all of the marketing to, you know, put this now, this wholesale property out there. Okay. So it's his responsibility to take the calls, show the property if necessary, and ultimately not only get the property sold, but continue to build the cash buyers list and build relationships with, you know, buyers and agents. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the tips I want to share, if it's cool with you, is that I've realized in the last 6 months to a year that the cash buyers that will pay the most for your deals actually come from real estate agents, not actual landlords. I mean, you know, we're working with agents that are bringing buyers that will happily pay 80, 85, sometimes 90 cents on the dollar. And this kind of goes back to one of the things I mentioned at the beginning, Trevor, is always think about how can you continue to increase your profit margins, yep. right? So that you can get the most out of your marketing dollars. And I realized that we've actually had a big shift and focus on now focusing on agents that are bringing cash buyers, as opposed to just marketing to, you know, the LLC that's bought two or three properties in the last year. Yeah. We're focusing more on agents. So yeah, just to answer your question. So that's what the sales manager does. And then once he finds a buyer and collects a deposit, it's sent into the title company. In Podio, he'll transition it over to the transaction coordinator. And her responsibility is to make sure that, you know, title is ordered, lien is ordered. She keeps in contact with all the parties. If there's a JV partner, essentially, she's going to ensure a smooth transaction. And, you know, if you start getting to 2, 3, 4, 5 deals a month, just the transaction coordinator aspect alone, honestly, can be a full-time job because there's so much back and forth. And so, you know, that person has been an absolute, you know, a critical hire over the course of the last few years.
I love it, man. So it's kind of walking through what you mentioned. So first thing, you've got to focus on getting an assistant, right? So you got to focus on getting your time reclaimed, getting some of those kind of lower level tasks off your lap. Next thing, once you're able to do that, you're able to focus more on growing your business, more on doing the marketing, scaling things up. And that's going to create more deals that now your transaction coordinator comes in there so they can handle that to free you up as well.
Exactly.
As you're closing more deals, same thing. Your time becomes more scarce. So bring in the sales manager or whatever you call them, mm-hmm. the sales manager to then now deploy the assets to get those properties sold. So with all of that, and of course you have other team members in addition to that, but we're just going to focus on those three because it sounds to me that those three, almost in that order, maybe a little bit different for some people, but almost in that order is probably the order that lot of wholesalers should go if they want to really get some more time freedom from their business. So what's your role now? What do you do in your business on the day-to-day right now?
You know, great question, man. I'm steering the ship. That's kind of, you know, that's how I see myself is, number one, every Monday morning we have what we call our weekly huddle. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have certain key performance indicators, KPIs is a buzzword. And so each of our team members are always reporting on their numbers, you know, so how many calls are made, how many offers are sent, what marketing campaigns do we have going out? So I'm always trying to think, well, how can we do more and work less? How can we drive more revenue to the bottom line, but not necessarily have to double our efforts in order to do so? So that's constantly what I'm always working on is strategy, marketing. You know, I'm constantly looking for talent. I think that's another tip that I'll throw out there is, you know, we have an ad in ZipRecruiter and we always, you know, we always kind of have our fishing pole in the water with a hook, and we're always looking for people to bring on board. Not necessarily because I want to have 10, 15 people on the team, but if there's someone that just fits within the culture that I'm trying to build here, and they can add a lot of value to the team and, you know, it's in alignment with their core competencies and their strengths, I always want to keep an eye out, you know? And so, to answer your question, yeah, I'm always constantly looking at strategy. How can we market more and ultimately how can we make more and not necessarily have to double our work output, if that makes sense.
Dude, I love it. So something that might be going through people's mind really quick is you've got these, the sales manager, the transaction coordinator. How are they paid? Are they paid per transaction, like a share of the deal? Are they, do they have a base salary and then some share? Kind of how is that working?
Great question. So yeah, the acquisitions manager, sales manager, they're paid a percentage of the net profit of the deal. So they get paid 15% of every deal. Okay. And one of the things that I like to do is, you know, incentivize them. So I've actually tested different bonus structures. So after a certain dollar revenue amount for the month, you know, they might get bumped up to 20%. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you always want to figure out what makes people tick and what makes them drive. Is it, you know, is it money? Is it recognition? And so I'm always kind of, you know, one of the things I would advise people to do is go out and take the, and I know you've done this, Trevor, is take the Colby test, mm-hmm. the Index A, take that. But not only that, we recently started having our team take that. And it's been kind of eye popping to realize, well, you know, if you have a particular team member that they might have challenges in a certain area, maybe it's because it's just not in their makeup and their DNA. And this helps you as the leader and as the entrepreneur make sure that I think it's, I have the book right behind me. I think it's Collins, Good to Great, where he talks about making sure that you have the right people on the right bus and in the right seat.
Yep.
And I think that's, and I think that's critical. But yeah, man, just to circle back to your question, they get paid a percentage of the deal. So don't, if you're listening to this and you're watching this, this interview, don't think, well, I don't have, I can't pay somebody a salary. I don't have that money. They're not going to get paid till you get paid. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, the virtual assistant and the lead managers, they do get paid on an hourly basis. Yep. And the lead managers get paid a small bonus on every deal that closes that they're involved in.
Cool. I like it. So kind of, you mentioned, we're going to wrap this up here in a few, and I got a couple more questions for you because this is good stuff. I mean, this stuff right here, I love it. I'm digging into the hiring side and the growing the team side because I know so many people have that question. Because like I said, I think everyone on this call who is a wholesaler, a house flipper, or whatever type of business you're running, we started it so you can gain freedom in your life,
yeah,
and not so we can trap ourselves into a mm-hmm. job that we just happen to control, which I've done that myself, dude. And it was worse than having a job, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
oh,
I
yeah.
created this thing and I don't even want to wake up to what I'm doing right now. So kudos to you for, you know, getting your business in a position that it serves you instead of you serving the business all the time. And you mentioned the Colby test. So for people listening to this, it's K-O-L-B-E. So just Google that, K-O-L-B-E. The Index A, I think it's $49 or something like that.
Yeah, it's $50. Yeah.
And it's so important, guys and gals, that when you're bringing team members aboard your team, whether it's an independent contractor that's a critical part of your company, you don't need to have your graphic artist take a Colby test, right? But like if it's someone who's in the day-to-day operations of what your business does and they're working with your other team on a day-to-day basis and you want to have them work as independently as they're able to and not just you send them task after task, we need to make sure that they work together well with the other team, but also the other team members, but also that their skill set matches exactly what you need there. And a really good example right now, we have 4 positions open here at Carrot, my company. We're 8 full-time people right now. We're bringing aboard another 4 people here as soon as we can find them. And the first thing we do after we find that it's that it's a culture fit first. Like we match it up to our core values, make sure it's a culture fit. And then we take and go, okay, we already know exactly what that role, we already know what the Colby profile is that we want there. Mm-hmm. We've got this one position open right now. We're calling it the integrator. And it's the person that's going in and really going in, or the implementer. It's the person who's going in. They're going to be alongside me a lot of the times and working with a lot of our higher end clients where I can just go in and just kind of blow in and do the strategy. This person's typing everything down. They're going and making sure it all gets done. And that's a gap in our company for sure. And I really identified, I said, the Colby index is four things. We're not going to dive into a lot. You guys can check out KOLBE.com. There's all kinds of videos to talk about it. But the two that we focus on the most are quick start and follow through. The other two are important too. But I'm like a 2 on follow through and an 8 on quick start, which, you know, that means a lot of vision, a lot of ideas. I'm fine with a bunch of stuff happening at once. I'm fine with change. I actually thrive on change and thrive on a lot of stuff happening. And I tend not to follow through on things as much as I probably should and need to. So that's not a good combo, because if you've got two people who are high quick start, low follow through, you're going to have a ton of stuff happening, tons of ideas on the wall, just shit happening everywhere. Nothing's getting done.
And that's right.
That happened to me on a previous company. I was working with a friend of mine. We were both high. It's before I ever knew about Colby, and it ended up being just a shit show, man. We're still good friends with him, but we didn't get anything done. Now this role, the integrator, I'm like, all right, we know that it has to be at least a 6 on follow through. Ideally, I'd take a 5 if it's the right person, but it's gotta be 5 or below on quick start. Otherwise it's not going to work. They're going to be sitting with me, taking notes, giving me ideas. We're going to be off in la la land, creating ideas everywhere. And then they're going to go and not get the stuff done. So Colby was a game changer for us in our team building. And, I think everyone who's starting to build a team should be looking at the Colby test for sure. Take it yourself first, so you know how you work, and then identify where your gaps are. And if that person that you're hiring, like an assistant, your assistant should be very high on follow through.
Absolutely.
Because you're probably, if you're the entrepreneur, you're likely kind of more of a quick start. Likely. You're probably the idea person. You like to push forward and do stuff. So your assistant needs to be lower on quick start. 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe not a 1. But 2, 3, and then, you know, 5, 6, 7, maybe even 8, if they're just a crazy and follow through.
And if I can add to that, Trevor, because one of the biggest mistakes that I made when I started to build my team, and I want to share this with you because I think this is going to help you avoid a lot of time, stress, and headaches, is I didn't bother with this Colby test. And so I would hire people that would have a good interview, but then I'd be putting them in these roles that just wasn't setting them up to succeed. And there's nothing worse from my experience to invest a bunch of time and energy into training someone and then realizing 3-6 months down the line that they're either A, not cutting it, or they might just not like it because it just doesn't fit their personality and their, you know, what they bring to the table. So by taking some additional steps before you make the hire, you're putting yourself and your company in a much better position to succeed.
I love it. So you use ZipRecruiter, you've got an ad going on there all the time. You're using the Colby test to test your team members and yourself, of course, and you're building an amazing team. So this can be a great call, guys and gals, to play back again as you start to build the team. Now, I've got one last question for you, then we're going to bail. So at the start of the call, you mentioned that, you know, with growing your company, you do have a bigger end game. You don't just want to be running a wholesale business and that's it for the next 20, 30 years. So, dude, what for you is that? Like, what for you, if you were to go, you know what, here's the impact I want to make, or here's what I want this company to help fuel in my life and in the world. Dude, what is that for you? Like, what are you excited about that what you're doing right now is fueling or helping to impact?
You know, man, I've always had aspirations to be an inspiration for people, you know? And so I think I talk to a lot of people out there that are stuck in a 9-to-5. And, you know, I always say, if you have that gut-wrenching feeling in your stomach on Sunday night, it's a red flag, and it's an indication that, you know, God put you on this earth, not to get too religious, but God put you on here, in my opinion, for something bigger and better. Yeah. And part of it for me is I really enjoy helping people. I love hopping on calls like this and, you know, just kind of sharing my story, because I think if it resonates with one person and it inspires them to take any little action or big action for that matter, and kind of moves them in the direction of their goals and their dreams, then I truly believe that's kind of what God put me on here. So it's not only about money and lifestyle and freedom and family, but I want to help people. I want to inspire people. And so, you know, one of the things I'm considering and figuring out kind of what shape is this going to take in? Is it a coaching program? Is it, you know, one-on-one mentoring? I've kind of dabbled in that area. And honestly, I'm still figuring it out. I know you and I want to give you a lot of credit because we had a conversation about 5-6 months ago that really resonated with me, where we talked about, and we don't have to reveal too much about it, but it's about finding your passion. Yep. I remember, I don't know if you recall that, but around Christmas time, I called you and I was kind of struggling. Like, I like what I do. Actually, I love what I do, but how do I know it's my passion? Mm-hmm. And so figure out, you know, what that is for you. Not only what's your why, because that's so cliche, but what do you truly love doing? You know, and ask yourself, whether it be God or a higher purpose, why do you think you're here? And so for me, it's part of it is I want to inspire and help others.
Man, it's funny. And I know this Carrot Cast guys and gals going a little bit longer than normal, but I think this is really important. So hang on for another 5 minutes. This is going to be amazing stuff here. Because everything with business that we do, you know, once you get your bills paid, right? Once you get your bills paid, once your back's not against the wall, you have a few bucks in the bank. You really start to look at what you're doing in your business with that lens. Like you and I had, I remember that call vividly. I was on I-5, Interstate 5 here in Oregon, in my truck, and we were talking, and it was like, that stuff fires me up. And for me, and you and I, of course, walked through kind of my own journey with finding my passion, the struggles that I've had over the year, and what I'm really excited about, and how I did it, and what I, you know, am going to avoid next time. So it's, I think it changes. Like, I think once we found what fires us up now and it hits us at our core, that might not be the same in 10 or 15 years. I think we go through seasons in our life. But one of the things that I want to make vividly clear here, guys and gals, is as you're growing whatever business it is that you're growing, you should definitely be prepped right now for knowing that once you get enough money in your bank account, and you get past that initial goal and you're paying your bills, your mind is going to start shifting toward impact. Your mind is going to start shifting toward, why am I doing this? Because now the motivator is no longer that I've got to pay that bill or I want to get away from my job. And it's just something that happens with every entrepreneur that I've ever met who is a high achiever, someone who wants to make things happen. And one of the biggest things that I can throw out there for people that helped me is I finally gave up on finding my passion, right? And one thing I want to make, and I'm going to tell you guys the punchline on that, on how that helped me. But one of the things that has been really, really magical in my life was, you know, before I was always banging my head against the wall going, oh my gosh, everyone tells me I got to create a business out of my passion. And what I'm doing in my business, you know, at that time, it's like, I'm not passionate about software with Carrot. I'm not passionate about real estate at all. Like, I really like it as a wealth tool. It's really cool. You know, I think it's one of the best ones. It's probably the best one out there. I'm not passionate about either one of those, but what I found is that you can create any kind of, but you can be selling toilets and help it like completely fuel whatever it is that you want to make, that impact you want to make. And for me, I was discounting in my mind, what I thought was the impact I wanted to make. I thought it was like, it had to be something cool. Hey, impact 1 million entrepreneurs, right? Have 1 million families have an entrepreneur in their family. Like that kind of thing that just is that cliche thing like that. And for me, it was literally two things that changed the game for me. The first thing was, I'm going to quit finding my purpose in life. And my purpose this year, which was in 2012, is going to be me just crushing life. Like me just doing the best I can possibly do in every part of life. No longer washing the dish and putting it on the counter. I'm going to wash it and put it in the dishwasher. No longer having my dresser drawer with my shirts messy. Like ever since 2012, my shirt drawer has been perfect. It's like printed shirts on the left, all folded up, plain shirts on the right. My closet's perfect. My truck is not. I still got to work on that. But like literally doing the best you can possibly do and make that your challenge this year. If you're just racking your head against, you know, the wall, trying to find your mission in life. Stop trying to find it. Make your mission doing the best you can possibly do at everything you do this year. Okay. Then that for me opened everything up. And that for me really opened it up so I could then see what was already in front of me the whole time, that I was discounting that could not be what I focused my life on. Dude, I love amplifying entrepreneurs. I love amplifying not just entrepreneurs. I love amplifying leaders. And yeah. That's why I'm doing this podcast. That's why this whole call, we talked about some real estate stuff, but the whole thing was about how to really amplify someone who's a wholesaler as an example, so they can not just be trudging along in the day to day, just being slammed with the task work. We talked yeah. about how Alex built this team so he can then live the life and make the impact he wants to make. And that for me is it. Like a lot of people here, you know, listen to this call might be going, oh, it's like, yeah, amplifying leaders, whatever. For me, when I knew that that was it, was when everything that I was doing in my life fed into that automatic. I wasn't even thinking about it. Like the Loft Entrepreneur Co. workspace here, dude, surrounding great people around me so I can amplify them because I saw that they have so much potential in them. And so they can amplify me too. I wasn't thinking about amplifying, you know, leaders when I started this thing. I'm like, I love people. I love entrepreneurs. And I love people who want to make stuff happen. I think I can help them do it better if we're around each other more. You know, that's why we've really focused care on building a company out of core values and really building a company with great people and building this company, not just so we can make more money and, you know, making a goal of we're at 2,000 customers now, not making it to 5,000 so we can all become millionaires. That'd be cool. But it's so we have a bigger platform to get our message out there so I can amplify more leaders. So our team members can take the things they're passionate about and have a bigger platform to get it out there. So that's kind of my tangent there. I could have a 3-hour call on that topic, but I love that you brought it up.
I know we're wrapping up here, and just to kind of piggyback on that, and this is one of the things, I don't know if you have any more questions, but this is kind of what I want to leave people with along the same lines of our discussion, because I think it's that critical, and it's worth if it goes over a few minutes here. Mm-hmm. One of the things you shared with me that I want to thank you for is take the pressure off of trying to figure out, you know, what it is. And if you're doing real estate and you're kind of like us where you like it or you love it, but you're not like, you know, you wouldn't do it for free kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Just realize that whatever you're doing is a vehicle to get you to whatever your passion might be. And if you take the pressure off, it's going to kind of open things up for you, like I think you were saying, Trevor. Mm-hmm. And it made a big difference, man. It really did. So take the pressure off if you're not exactly sure what God put you on this earth to do. Just realize that if you take action and you move in that direction, it's going to reveal itself. So you don't have to necessarily know what the end game looks like. Just have an idea and move towards it, and then surround yourself with you know, I want to surround myself with people like you. And I think that's why you launched and you put together the Loft there, is to surround yourself with like-minded individuals.
Dude, I love it. I love it, man. And that's, I think we'll leave with that right there is take the notes on how to build out that team that Alex mentioned. And then if you guys are struggling to find your mission, your purpose in life, take the pressure off. Realize you don't have to find it right away. It can find you if you take the pressure off and the clutter out of your life. So go out there and crush it, guys. Go out there and crush it, guys and gals, in life. And dude, there's one thing behind you I've got to bring up, dude. Is that that little bobblehead, is that from The Hangover?
Oh, dude, check this out.
I saw that back there earlier, and I
absolutely love Alan.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's true. How did you see that, dude? I'm surprised you could even see that.
I saw it earlier before, when you went to do something with your daughter. I saw it. I'm like, I think that's Alan from – I saw the baby on the front. I'm like, it is. I'm going to ask him about that. So that's
I've probably seen this movie about 1,000 times just because of this dude right here. Awesome.
I love it. Well, Alex, I appreciate you coming on, man. Keep on going out there and crush it. And I just want to encourage you and have everyone listening to this, encourage Alex and to connect with him if you guys resonate with his message, and connect with him if you might want to work with him. If you're there in the Florida market and you're doing deals, connect with him. Also, like he mentioned, he's looking at kind of what his next real focus is going to be. And there might even be someone watching this is like, you know what, that Alex dude, I want him to coach me. So, Alex, where can people find you? Not even saying you have a coaching program, but where can people find you to learn more about what you're doing and connect with you?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, if you go to flipempire.com in the contact us section there, you can reach out to me. And it doesn't have to be about coaching. If you just have any questions, or if you want to just hop on a call and to elaborate more about anything that you heard that may have resonated with you, I'm happy to do so. Any way I can add value, I'm looking forward to, to connecting and contributing however I can. So, yeah, flipempire.com, and you can reach me there in the contact us section.
Awesome. Flipempire.com. Guys and gals, have an amazing rest of the week. Alex, thanks for hopping on this Carrot Cast with us, and sayonara. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.